Well, let's turn in God's Word to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Gospel of Mark and chapter 8. Remember, just a couple chapters ago, we had the feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples were alongside Jesus when he fed the 5,000 men, plus the women and children. Here it begins again with the feeding of the 4,000 men, plus women and children. Mark chapter 8, verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. These are the words of God. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them also before them, or he set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. He left them and, getting into the boat, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, How is it you do not understand? And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, Who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, You are the Christ. And he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. When he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Those are God's words. Again, here Jesus continues performing miracles, showing forth signs that he is the Christ by the feeding of the 4,000 men along with the women and children with the 7 loaves of bread and the fish. There's 7 large baskets left over. And yet as we continue in the passage, we see the disciples just didn't get it yet. Even when they're in the boat and they have just one loaf of bread, and they're worried about more about the bread than what Jesus is saying and teaching them about the Pharisees and Herod. They didn't get that he's the provider of all food. And he's the one who is the bread of life. And then verses 10 through 13, the Pharisees trying to test Jesus, asking for a sign. And Jesus refuses to give a sign, especially if you think of it. Jesus has given a multitude of signs, and he's done performed those signs before the Pharisees. And yet they're asking for another one. They're trying to test him. But Jesus does not work on their timetable. He does not work according to their will. Then through verse 21, Jesus warns of the Pharisees corrupting the Word of God and replacing it with the traditions of men. That's what he does with the disciples on the boat, about the leaven of the Pharisees. And just as we should be warned today of the much traditionalism and replacing God's Word in the church today, we should be warned of similar things. And then through verse 26, Jesus heals the blind man, another sign that he is sent from God, showing that forth. And then we see that Peter confess Jesus as the Christ. Peter knows Jesus is the Christ. He confesses him along with what the disciples believe with him as the Messiah in verse 29, in which Jesus then communicates the necessity for the Christ to suffer, of which is shown throughout the Scriptures, and especially if we think of Isaiah 53, a necessity for Christ to suffer, in which Peter takes him aside and rebukes Jesus. And Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And you see at the very end here, how closely this is to the book of Ecclesiastes. You see, Peter's focus is under the sun. It's earthly. But he needed to look above the sun to see the plan of God for the salvation of God's people, that Jesus Christ had to suffer, that his people would live. And then Jesus warns the disciples, plus the many other that had gathered, of the sufferings that his people, his God's children, would have to endure in union with Christ, just as we today must suffer. If you are in union with Christ, beloved, we must suffer, and we ought to be prepared for those sufferings as the followers of Jesus Christ, with the hope of what we learned in Romans 8, verse 17, with the hope that we will be glorified together with him. Just as he is now in glory, we will be glorified with him. But he needed to suffer. And we also suffer. We will suffer. We take up our cross and follow after him. Let's pray. Our Father, that is always a hard thing to hear, that we have to take up our cross and follow after you. We have to go in the way that you went, in the way of suffering. If we are heirs, we will be persecuted, you say. And if we are heirs, then we will suffer with Christ. Though often our comfort we find in that verse in Romans, that we will be glorified together with him. I pray and ask that all here would be in union with Christ Jesus, your Son. That all would come to faith in Christ. They would turn from their sins. We would all do so. And you would receive us for Christ's sake. And as we suffer where we do, we ask that you would uphold us and strengthen us by your power. And that every day we would feed upon Christ, who is the bread of life, upon his word, by which we live, knowing that in all earthly things, you will provide for us every step, and you will bring us home to be with you forever and ever at the right time. Father, help us to trust you in your ways, in your plan. And Father, we ask that you would be with the Watson family and with April's father who died yesterday, I believe. Be with their family and comfort them. And Father, we pray and ask for the salvation of his now widow and I believe stepmother of April. I ask that you would save her from her sins. You would turn her, and this time, even in the ministry April perhaps has been able to offer to her late father, pray that word would have been heard in her ears, and she would be saved from her sins. And Father, we pray and ask for your help for Martha, Lillian's mother, who is here visiting. We know that she is weak, and ask that you would uphold her and not allow her, if it be your will, to be sick. Grant to her great health, and health so that the McQuash family can worship with us and be with us on the Lord's Day. Father, we also ask for your healing hand to be upon Dale and strengthen his back that he might work. And in the month, next month, when he travels to Kenya and South Sudan, that you would work out all the details of proving his marriage, that would continue the immigration process for him, for his wife and child, and that they would be, you would bless their being reunited together again. And in America, we take many things for granted, and even this, we're being separated from our spouse for a long period of time. Father, that is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring them safely here, if that be your will, quickly. And Father, we ask that you would be with us as a congregation. Again, strengthen us. Keep us from error and false teaching, and give us discernment in our ears and hearts. We ask that you would uphold us and provide for us and protect us. And then, Father, we ask for our government many months ahead that will be a great struggle for the government and the peoples of this nation. And Father, we pray that you would, if it be your will, uphold this nation. And if it be your will to judge, then bring judgment at the right time. Father, we ask that you would save those who rule over us. You would grant them a love for Christ, that they would bow to him and call others who rule to bow to him alone. And they would covenant with Christ, your Son, as all nations will at some point in the future do. And we hope in that. And your promises in Psalm 72 that we heard this morning, and even Psalm 2 and Romans 11. We put our hope in your promises, though it seems very grim at this time. And Father, we pray that you would use the government to not push down or hurt the church, your people, but they would do all things that it would be for the flourishing of the church and the gospel throughout the nation. They would call sinners, the citizens, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and call for the gospel to be preached and proclaimed. Because we know, above all things, that is what is best for this nation, that sinners repent, that citizens repent and rulers repent and turn to Christ your Son. And so we ask for your help in this, for your providence to intervene and your according to your decrees, and bring about the good of your people in all things. We pray for your will to be done. Father, again, we ask for your healing hand to be upon Harry Ward, who's in the hospital with COVID. Pray that you would strengthen his body. Praise you that you are seeming to do that already, and I pray that you would give him full healing this week, that he could return home soon. Keep Mary Jane to be healthy and continue to be healthy and not get the virus, just as we pray for all of us. And ask that you would build up our immune systems and strengthen your people to serve you, to serve Christ for the sake of the kingdom, all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.